Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to My Security Media's Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, recording in Perth, and joined by Dr. David Brooks, or Associate Professor David Brooks from Edith Cowan University. David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Great. Well, we're in Perth. We both presented at ASIS International's Australian National Security Conference in Sydney last week. But you and I have a history we should disclose. We've known each other for about 10 years. And
many, many years.
Too many, maybe. It makes us older. And we did publish a book together, The Corporate Security in the Asia Pacific.
That's right.
So that was 2012, mate. Yep. So now here we are. We're going to talk about some research that you did, funded by ASIS International, as well as BOMA and SIA. And we're going to talk about intelligent building management systems. And you've prepared a guideline or guidance for protecting organisations.
That's right.
Introduce the audience to the background to the research, and we're going to discuss some of the terminology, particularly around intelligent and automated building management systems.
Really interesting project.
Yeah.
As you've mentioned, it was funded out of the US by the ASIS Foundation, which is a part of ASIS International, the Building Owners and Managers Association, or BOMA International, and the Security Industry Association. Interesting because they're the three key stakeholders that really are involved in these intelligent building systems, both as operators, users, and when we start getting vulnerabilities in these systems. So it's a very exciting project.
ASIS have about 33,000 members.
That's right.
Maybe the scale. How big is BOMA? These are all three US-based, right?
That's right, but also all international.
Okay, you're right.
International membership.
So how many members would BOMA be looking
BOMA's
at?
BOMA's a little bit like Asia, where it tends to be membership by organisation.
Got it, okay.
Sort of single members.
So quite an industry representative.
Yeah, and SIA, I believe, has about 12,000 members.
Okay.
So they're the integrators of the group.
Again, and with an international footprint.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so the foundation of the... Maybe talk us about the research. What was the sort of the
I suppose the start of the research was around...
I was going to say the charter.
Yeah. Well, the research really came about in 2009. Our lab at Edith Cowan University was doing defeat testing of biometric fingerprint type of systems funded by government. There was a push by a lot of government departments to put biometrics in, and there was a lot of concerns about how reliable these sort of systems were. So we actually did some research into defeating those sort of systems. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But during that time, the government raised an issue about they've got a lot of intelligent building systems being installed in their building. They didn't necessarily have the technical background. We were doing defeat evaluation. They gave us some funding to actually go and buy an intelligent building system. We set it up on the bench and then actually did a defeat evaluation on it. Came up with a list of vulnerabilities, aligned those to a list of mitigation strategies, and produce a report that went off to government. It sort of raised more questions from my perspective that the vulnerabilities were useful to understand, but they had no context.
Yep.
So how, from an operational perspective, can you use those vulnerabilities? Same with the mitigation strategies.
What was your initial thoughts? Because obviously government just didn't want to accept vendor promises or claims. How did you find those match between, say, a vendor claim or spec? And how it actually performed and the vulnerabilities that were there.
Any system has vulnerabilities.
True.
So depending on how it's installed, the threat against that building, what's critical in that building. So I think a lot of the issue is given these sort of systems, because they're very modular.
Yeah.
Threats dynamic, critical operations tend to be dynamic. I suppose without context, it's hard to understand what is a vulnerability and what isn't. What we found over that 12 months of research back in 2010, we saw technology change even in that short period that we couldn't necessarily keep up with. What also came out was what were practitioners doing, which wasn't part of our scope. So this current study, the focus of this study wasn't necessarily look at the technology of intelligent buildings. Obviously, it's a technology system. It was to really understand what people are doing out in industry. find usable and operational mitigation strategies and then produce that in a simple-to-use guideline, so which almost, is really the outcome of the research project.
So I suppose it puts the context around how you're using that technology and where you're applying it.
It allows a facility, building engineer, cyber, IT or security professional to assign a context or criticality rating against their building and then actually look at what mitigation strategies they need to apply on that scaled approach.
Okay, so was that the intention of the research, or you just found yourself needing, that's where you ended up?
It's actually a really, really insightful question, because we got halfway, like the research lasted about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Halfway through that process, we had like 150 pages of academic stuff.
Yeah.
Again, a good list of vulnerabilities, a good list of mitigation strategies, a lot of the sort of definition language aspects, but it was unusable by most practitioners.
So, I wouldn't have read it.
Probably not many people will read the full published report, which is pretty available.
Okay, great.
If someone's really interested in that. So we started looking at how can we sort of change that into operational reports. So the 13-page guideline which we produced allowed the users or operator of the building to then understand the context or define a context for them that then directs them into the level of protection they need to provide.
Well, maybe talk us through the guideline, because that's really what it's about, and we will have the link. It's going to be available either from ACES International, BOMA or SIA, and we'll have the link on the podcast. But I'll just read this first paragraph. This guidance provides both the security and facility professional with the necessary information and a framework to protect their organisations against the risks associated with intelligent building management system vulnerabilities. The guidance aims to support such decision-making in combination with relevant standards, guidelines and other resources. So how did it come about and how did you structure it?
So what we realised was we can't understand context, we can't understand the organisational threat and what's critical in that organisation. That's up to the people operating the building. So the guide's designed that you identify a criticality level of your organisation, so information, assets, or people.
Yeah.
And that's broken up into 9 different categories across 5 different levels, from a low criticality rating up to an extreme criticality rating. Across operational, whether that's government operations or private operations, through to safety, through the impact on reputation, all the way through to maintenance aspects. And what really came out during the focus groups we were doing was occupancy, particularly for the building owners and facility managers. So you could put some metrics on those. You can use multiple categories. So you may use safety, you may use operational capability, and you may use occupancy. And you rate your facility against those categories.
So would you suggest, say, the security manager fill this out or go through this, and then the facility manager, then the occupant or the tenant? Is that how?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So my view is for the security professional to remain a professional, they need to sort of grab hold of this. It's outside their scope.
Yep.
Really, intelligent buildings are owned and operated by the facility department. And when you look at the facility department, there's sort of 3 or 4 operators of those, being the building engineer, mechanical, electrical. They're the ones who sort of own and operate that system. But the security professional has to take some responsibility, has to engage with these systems. So my view is they should take this document, do an initial assessment. They understand the whole organisation. They understand to some degree what's critical. They then go through the different general managers with their rating and get basically sign off from those general managers. Once they've done that, they can then start addressing the actual checklist or mitigation questions. We haven't listed those as explicit mitigation strategies. What we've done, we've listed those treatments as a question. So you ask the hard question.
Right.
And the sort of low level questions are quite generic. Do you have a policy, security policy? Do you know who owns and operates your intelligent building systems, all the way through to do you have a backup copy of your back software offsite in a secure location? But as you go up to the more critical questions, they become more onerous.
So that would be the more extreme and critical would be things like critical infrastructure, you know.
It's
fence, or is it on based on risk profile?
Based
or
on risk appetite? Profile. Yeah, both risk profile.
Yeah.
In what you think is important and what you need to maintain operations. So that's a bit of appetite as well. It's not necessarily specific to critical infrastructure. They may be legislative drivers there. There might be safety drivers. And we've got legislation as part of that criticality assessment.
Okay.
So that may be a factor you want to use.
And I imagine, obviously, when you talk about IBMS or BACS as well, building automation and control systems, it's technology agnostic. And I imagine you're trying to put a duration to this set of guidelines. So, you know, it's not spent on time. Or as technology advances?
Yeah, so we didn't purposely take a technology approach on that, so we didn't buy a system to test and defeat.
Yeah.
We looked at it from a policy guideline approach, understand what people are doing out there. That allowed us to better develop the guideline that basically anyone can pick up and actually work through and provide a level of protection.
I suppose it comes back down to the vulnerabilities, because I think, as you mentioned, you initially started off with a 150-page or plus report of vulnerabilities and the like. Was it such that, as you say, you couldn't understand the context, but every system is vulnerable?
Yes, absolutely.
So therefore,
yep.
You have to go on that assumption that no matter what technology you're dealing with, there's going to be a vulnerability in it.
But the catch of that is...
What is the context?
What is the context? And most organisations will have some treatment or security strategies in place.
Yeah.
Whether that's from an IT perspective that your workstation auto logs off after a period of time, to key control from facilities, so that restricts access into plant rooms.
Yeah.
So there's very generic mitigation strategies. Now, that may be enough to alleviate a lot of those vulnerabilities if you're a fairly low threat, relatively low critical organisation.
Yeah. So it is about matching your mitigation to the vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's working on what those vulnerabilities are first.
It's looking at what's critical in the organisation, the threat against those, your organisation. And as you go up and become more critical, the vulnerabilities obviously raise to the surface. And the questions you have to respond to become a lot more specific to intelligent building systems. They become more onerous to incorporate, and they become more costly to maintain.
And I imagine that context can change. You talked about as you move through criticality, you might be low level. I imagine that's also applicable to, a large site or facility where that criticality can change in the facility itself.
Yep.
So you might be out in the car parks low level, where you might have some basic car parking automation and the like, all the way through to where your key assets and your critical assets are.
That's one of the fundamental problems with these sort of systems. Again, if you think about a high-rise building, and you've just talked about zoning a facility, if you take a high-rise building, an example, there may be multiple tenants. Each of those tenants will have a different threat and a different critical operations. We've got one intelligent building controlling all those.
Yeah.
So how do you strengthen the intelligent building systems to the highest threat and most critical? There's no clear answer to that.
Yeah. Hence why you've got to get your stakeholders on board. I suppose this is what this type of document gets everybody onto the same hymn sheet so that they know what they're dealing with.
Well, it's one of the first documents that really takes a guideline approach that isn't technology specific.
Yeah.
It's certainly not perfect. And what we really welcome is that we're getting the information out there, and it's free to download.
Yeah.
So there's no cost to get that. We want people to use it and really get back to us with what's good and what's bad.
Yeah.
Hate to hear bad things, but we welcome that critique.
Well, I was going to say we can quickly talk about what are the other applications to it, and then we'll acknowledge the authors and the organisation. So have you seen out of this potential other applications, maybe not for BACS and IBMS, but this type of guideline or guidance note for other technology applications?
Well, the most obvious one is any network system like a SCADA system.
Right, yep.
to an IT corporate network.
Yeah.
It's the same. They have the same issues. They've got distributed devices spread around the facility,
yeah,
connected to a network. I suppose why intelligent buildings really pop up into the forefront is they're owned and operated by facility managers and engineers.
Yeah.
They're designed by engineers to keep a consistent temperature for a HVAC system, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. They're not designed and operated by anyone who has really a security consideration generally.
Yeah. Got it.
So they lack that, I suppose they lack that inbuilt security requirements. In other words, they're easy to get access to the devices.
I suppose it's also the becoming connected as well.
And on the verse, Internet of Things.
Yeah.
They're part of the Internet of Things. And
right.
They'll be more converged with other systems.
Okay. Well, look, it's the Intelligent Building Management Systems Guidance for Protecting Organisations. I've been speaking with Dr. David Brooks, and he was co-authored or co-researchers, Dr. Michael Cool. And I imagine, is it Dr. Paul Haskell? Yes. Otherwise,
Associate Professor
Paul Haskell Dowland, all from Edith Cowan University. And this is research and a product funded by the ACES International Foundation.
Yep.
And BOMA and SIA. So we'll have that link on the web and on the podcast link. So David Brooks, thanks for joining us on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thank you.
Cheers.